Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios for hour number three. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, like I said, and this is Wednesday. And we've been out of the groove for the last couple of weeks, me being in trial one day and then just getting things back in order the next time. But yeah, we're going to get back on track right now with a thing we call the Grand Council, bringing in two of my brethren in talk radio who's been doing it longer than me. So let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and also, oh, by the way, the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Jeff Poor, are you with us?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. And then also from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN out of Huntsville, along with other stations allegedly around the state. And he writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, you there? All right. Outstanding. I pronounce a quorum.
Hit Assemble it. The Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, we're back. Listen, thanks y'all very much. Jeff, I think, are you down in Montgomery right now, by the way?
I am not. I'm heading down there later tonight.
Oh, it's been wild. So I'll tell you what, I'll just let you go ahead and take the first, while I got you talking, just take the first question. What you got?
Let's hit this gambling discussion, if you would. But how many times have we talked about it on this program? It being dead, how surprised are you that we are where we are right now on the precipice of a gambling bill in Alabama?
So you're asking, do I think it's going to pass? You mean?
How are you surprised? Because I'm more floored that it got to this point even.
I'll weigh in on this a little bit. I really anticipated that it wouldn't get to this point, but I also think this is part of the strategy. Throw it out there real quick at the very end, get it done, and just pop out of conference. I mean, literally, where'd this thing go? We lulled everybody to sleep, and all of a sudden it pops out of conference, and it's a little different and rushes to the House floor. And, you know, I think part of what's happened here is the Porch Creeks are mad because they didn't get everything they wanted. And so they've told Greg Albritton, who was the bill sponsor in the Senate, shut her down. And he was the one vote they needed, and it went away for now. Dale, weigh in.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious, personally. I think this is great. I think this is a wonderful thing to watch this disaster unfold, because now you have all these people that came around after being against it. Now they're for this, and why? You've still got the expansion of gambling. The senator said they didn't want. It's still in there. Now you got allegations that the governor's out there twisting arms and stuff to get this done. I mean, come on. Are you going to get punked out by the governor? I mean, does this scare you? Y'all better vote for my bill. I just don't understand why that would scare any of these people.
Jeff, by the way, what are you hearing about this? I know you've been talking to some of the senators here most recently. Are they being pressured? I mean, tell me what you know about this.
Yeah, so Scott Buttram, our mutual acquaintance on social media, wrote that he was hearing some senators being threatened. Well, okay, so if you compare the March vote that the Senate did to the vote that we had yesterday, three flips, three votes that went the other way. State Senators Elliott, Lance Bell, and obviously Greg Albritton, who went no. And they've all had an opportunity to kind of explain where they are. But the governor's office, I don't know if it's governor. I don't even know if the governor, how aware she is of what's going on. But her staff has decided to take it upon themselves and go 2019 gas tax on the three no votes in the Senate. I don't think this is going to work, guys.
No.
Is there another no vote that they could flip to yes besides those three? We'll have to wait and see. But this is, like I said, this is kind of fascinating to watch how this is going to play out. But she's definitely, or someone working for her, trying to pull this off.
Well, so and listen, procedurally speaking, I got to say this is a weird deal, because I spent enough time down there. I can't tell you how many times I voted to concur or non-concur with a conference committee. I have never seen one come out of conference and require a vote on whether to vote again. I mean, that.
That it really should have died last night on its vote, but somehow or another they procedurally wrangled some hoodoo on the floor of the Senate, and it's got life left in it, apparently.
Right, right. Well, it's this. It's because it's a constitutional amendment which has different rules with it than like just they're just passing a budget or something like that, right? That this isn't a normal bill that would be signed by the governor, so it doesn't have the same ground rules.
So did the House vote twice?
I don't know. I know they had to vote. They didn't have the BIR on the constitutional amendment. But it seems like. I watched the debate last night, and it was really kind of bizarre the way that Ledbetter had handled it.
All right, let's move to the next question before we run out of time. Dale Jackson, what you got?
How did we go from we need to get that Lake and Riley bill passed here in Alabama? We need to make that happen. And we need to take advantage of the opportunity to strike while the iron's hot on immigration to maybe we let illegal immigrants go to college here and pay for it. How do we get that transition in like 3 weeks?
I don't know. In fact, I woke up trying to figure out if I had like Rumpelstiltskin to my way into a new era. I didn't know what was happening. You're right. There's legislation right now being proposed to allow illegals. I don't get it, man. So I can't even answer that question. It's just like bizarro world, Jeff.
The Lake and Riley bill has something to do with the sponsors, why it hasn't proceeded. Sort of the new Andrew Cyril, if you will, with Ernie Yarbrough, the Reed Ingram immigrant bill. Somebody explained it to me. It's like, well, you don't want them to go to your colleges or whatever. Why dreamers or you know, that's all this is. So I'm not necessarily think it's a politically expedient bill. I don't think it's like Alabama opening up the floodgates of immigration either.
It's also super optics. I mean, like you look at it and go, it's like saying we're sort of a sanctuary state because we'll offer you stuff if you'll come here, it'll be all right. That's just there could not be a worse, more tone-deaf time for the optics on this thing.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're right. On the other hand, I mean, when does this legislature ever been worried about optics?
So your own thoughts on your question, Dale, what are you thinking?
I truly don't understand it. You know, every legislator, on the Republican side has probably said something along the lines of, we got to turn that magnet off and stop giving them reasons to come here. And then here you go. Here's another one for you. So good job, guys.
Well, it's part of the mixed signals on whether we truly have a conservative body down there, and we don't. We have some conservatives, but we don't have a conservative majority right now. That's for sure. All right. Hey, last question for this round. So right now, the dominating force on the national news cycle, of course, is all the protests going on college campuses. Here's my question for you. What's the biggest story that we're not seeing? Because it's dominating everything. I mean, it's literally top of the ticket for everything. What's the biggest story we're not seeing right now, Jeff?
I wonder, you know, since it's taken away from the Trump trials, that the Trump trials are not going. They're not as they got problems. That maybe we're not seeing the flaws in the legal reasoning behind these prosecutions. That's why it's odd to me that MSNBC and CNN would spend any time on these protests.
good point, Dale. Biggest story we're not seeing.
Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to do something in the House, and the Democrats are like, nah, we're with Mike Johnson. I'm very intrigued by that whole story that they've apparently cut some sort of deal in order to keep Mike Johnson in power. I don't have a problem with it. The whole thing is stupid. Marjorie Taylor Greene, what she's doing is idiotic, but I'm just shocked that the Democrats wouldn't play along with them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the one on the international scene that I think we're losing sight of right now is we had a report came out just before all these protests broke out that Iran is within weeks of having a nuclear weapon at a time when they're fomenting discord everywhere internationally. So I just see that as a major, major story that's not getting any airtime right now for that very reason. That and the fact that apparently in Niger they can kick our troops out. That's crazy. All right, round one. There you have it. Round one, Grand Council. Jeff Poor from 1819 News and the Jeff Poor Show down in FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. and just little old me. Y'all stand by. We'll be right back.
We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, going right back now to round two, the Grand Council. Jeff Poor, you're first. What you got?
All out over the weekend, but there's also, I mean, if you just look at the averages and everything, Donald Trump maintains a lead over Joe Biden head-to-head in the national popular vote. We keep being told, well, that's going to change. Something's going to happen. This won't last. Don't believe it. What is there out there that will, because Biden's going to have a sizable lead in the popular vote to win. What is it that's going to take Biden over the top there, put him in position to win the re-election for the presidency?
You first, Dale.
Well, this is obviously where they get Trump. It's when they get a conviction. I mean, that's obviously it. A conviction, it changes everything. That's what other polls show. Now, maybe they're beating me. You know, maybe those polls change once there's an actual conviction, but a conviction. I think that's one of the things that if that happens, then we're in a different ballgame.
I think if that happens, yes. But I think if they get a conviction, which is, you know, still iffy. But if they get a conviction, I think that we go to the RNC convention and you'll see some floor battles and you'll know where we stand. And I think it would generate excitement. Plus, I think it would also generate a blowback. I think that they're going to, if they get a conviction off of Trump, off of Alvin Bragg, I think half the world's going to sit up and go, all right, by God, this is enough. And recognize that we like that really happened. We're gonna do no, we can't do this. So I don't know that the conviction even would be enough. But if it does, I think the convention will take care of it. But you know, I don't know. What do they find pictures of Trump in a drawer somewhere? I don't know. I mean, but that's failed before. So I don't know that there is anything. Biden is doing so poorly right now, and these campus protests are not helping him at all. I mean, where is he right now? He is silent on the issue. Take it away, Jeff.
Guys, two impeachments, like 90-something felony charges.
Yeah.
He is limping. He should be getting buried right now by an
incumbent
president.
This is where they get him, Jeff.
Hey, be quiet. I'm talking. He should be, on paper, should be getting destroyed right now.
Should be.
Is there anything you think that Joe Biden personally could do to win this race if he can't win it with this badly damaged Donald Trump? I mean, like, you know, you and I and Dale were talking about this back in like 2004 and talking about this scenario, and you tell me how much of a lead the front runner has and who it is, you say, well, the guy with the two impeachments, the 90 felony charges and facing an uphill incumbent fight is probably down 20 points, but he is not. There's something ongoing on here. Even if they get the conviction, I don't think that's enough.
I don't know where his green kryptonite is, to be honest with you. I think if he turned around and pick the wrong VP candidate, it might sour his campaign. But right now, the force of personality is carrying him through. And also, by the way, the force of disaster that we're seeing out of Biden is pushing Trump forward. Next question, Dale.
All right, so Kristi Noem is out there shooting dogs and herself in the foot. Who benefits from this more than Katie Britt?
Who benefits more than Katie Britt?
Yeah.
So you're saying that basically you think Katie Britt was just launched to the top of the female choices for VP?
I'm not saying that, but if you're looking for an attractive female conservative Republican with some national attention, it's Katie Britt or Kristi Noem, who's not flawed or hated by Trump.
I think that's you know what? I never thought of it this way. I never thought of, okay, she shot her puppy, Katie Britt wins. I never thought of that. God, my mind does not work like your mind, apparently. Jeff, help me out.
This feels like Carrie Lake to me, though. When I first saw it, that's the first thing I said is somebody who wants to be vice president that's not named Kristi Noem is behind this. So I don't know about Katie Britt. I just, she hasn't gotten any more buzz. She had her moment 15 minutes and it's over.
Yeah, but it wasn't like some second, third party. It was Kristi Noem herself did it.
Yeah, she wrote her own book. I mean, it came out of her book.
But Barack Obama wrote like 9 books, and all of them he talks about eating dog barbecue or something. And, this is all manufactured, guys. This is manufactured from the Republicans running for the VP stakes here. That's what this is. And they're the ones because you just look at where the outlets and where it started, you could probably connect the dots.
Okay, well, so you basically stole like both my questions wrapped up in one. I have one here on Kristi Noem and one on Trump VP, and now I had the life sucked out of both of them. So let me just ask you this. I'm gonna bring it home with about 2.5 minutes left. Mayor Stimson down in Mobile. I think a story that's flying under the radar for most of the state is you've got some weird dynamics going on with police chiefs. You got Montgomery and Mobile, two of the biggest cities in the state, suddenly having their police force decapitated. What is happening, though, in Mobile? Because it appears to be gaining some kind of life. He says he's going to now run against the mayor, and the mayor's got a great, you know, campaign. I like Mayor Stimson personally. So, Jeff, you live down there. I'm going to let you go first on this one. What the heck?
It's real strange. Mayor Stimson has Mayor Stimson got the backing of like Mobile City Council yesterday in firing the police chief. It took an act of the council. This fired police chief is alleging all kinds of corruption and all kinds of a weird protocol within the mayor's office. So there does seem to be kind of a measuring contest going on here. But the mayor wins. I mean, this is just how it is. It's his administration. I what I'm more curious of is this guy, this police chief that got fired, really has a following, a big cult following, and the mayor and the city council didn't seem to let that bother them at all when they decided to terminate him.
Well, there must have been some pretty serious stuff that not everybody's super privy to. But Dale, weigh in.
That's what I gotta think.
This is where they get him.
This is what drags Trump down. The mayor of Mobile firing his police chief suddenly gets blamed. Everything else gets blamed on Trump. Abortion is apparently Trump's fault. We know that now. All right. Both of yous, I appreciate you more than you know. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of his own radio show, The Jeff Poor Show, and with 1819 News. And Dale Jackson, WVNN, up yonder in Huntsville and on other stations around and about the state. And, oh, by the way, writes for Yellowhammer News. We call it the Grand Council, and we do it every Wednesday. And we appreciate both of you. All right, listen, coming up next, I'm trying to figure out, do I have time? I've got two dippers sitting on my desk. I've not even touched them hardly. We're going to do something. We'll do something. Text it in or call it in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.